This presentation has been previously broadcast.
The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Hey, good afternoon and welcome. It is great to be here with you today. Appreciate your time. I always appreciate hanging out with you. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you can hang out with me for the next 3 hours at least. It's not that much time, is it? We're going to pray in about an hour. All right, we'll pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. So if you got to run or go, remind you, you can get the podcast anywhere. And we've got a lot to talk about this afternoon. And we'll get you plugged into everything from that new piece of legislation that the U House overwhelmingly approved. It's called the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act. Some people say, you know, it's really a threat to free speech. We'll look at that. We'll take a look at the walk to Mary and so much more. Today is First Friday devotion, too. I actually went to confession today. It's a Sacred Heart devotion. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's a powerful devotion. It actually parallels that of Divine Mercy, so I have a special love for it. I'll fill you in on something that can really change your life if you're not aware of that and so much more. But let me fill you in on what's going on in your world right now. Those college protests that we've been following, well, seems like they're coming to an end. Wall Street Journal was reporting that their website, there's a website that's out there that's become a hub for anarchists and Antifa activists and radical leftists. In recent weeks, it has published these anonymous reports from around the country drawing lessons from various campus protests, and they reveal the method behind the mayhem. There's a plan to use violence to break the law. And I had mentioned this the other day, remember, or a couple days ago. These protests are very different than the protests of the civil rights. Very different. A lot of money being funneled into this, and there's an agenda behind it. The AP was reporting that more than 2,100 people have been arrested. New York police discovered that nearly half of those arrested at Columbia University. Guess what? They weren't students there. Surprise, surprise. Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg said, I'm not going to prosecute them. Surprise, surprise, right? How did this guy get his job, right? Alvin Bragg is not going to prosecute these people. And it appears that the students who damaged that iconic building at the UCLA, they're going to get off the hook. You'll hear in this report from NBC News, again, how stubborn and how obstinate many of those protesters are. They refuse to give in. Listen to this.
President Biden condemning violent, disruptive protests.
Vandalism, trespassing, breaking windows, shutting down campuses, forcing the cancellation of classes and graduations. None of this is a peaceful protest. Threatening people, intimidating people, instilling fear in people is not peaceful protest. It's against the law.
California Highway Patrol officers making hundreds of arrests.
We're not going to back down. We have to be forced.
The campus left covered in trash and busted tents. Some of those arrested, now released from a downtown jail, speaking out.
How do I feel? I've never felt more proud of myself or my community.
Nationwide, more than 2,100 arrests have been made connected with campus protests. And at the University of Wisconsin's Madison campus, defiant students reestablishing their tents just 24 hours after police disbanded the encampment there.
We're going to be here indefinitely until they meet our demand.
So as I said, they are now beginning to come to an end, right? But I just wanted to give you a juxtaposition. I want to compare something else that's going on and how crazy this is, right? You've got these people who have taken hammers to school property. They've broken windows. They've destroyed property. Right? Just Alvin Bragg's not going to do anything. Oh, I'm not going to prosecute, right? Okay. Let me just compare this now to 9 pro-life individuals right now who peacefully entered an abortion clinic. They didn't have hammers. They didn't have clubs. They didn't have bats. They weren't making improvised, you know, weapons. They weren't doing any of these types of things. 9 pro-lifers have been in jail now. Just, I want to give you a perspective. 8 months. 8 months for peacefully entering an abortion clinic. Alvin Bragg, I'm not going to go ahead and prosecute these people. 2,100 people have been arrested. Half of those arrested at Columbia weren't even students. It's not like these are students. These were paid dissenters, agitators. And Bragg's like, oh, am I going to prosecute them? Right? The damage at UCLA, these guys are going to get slapped on the wrist. They're going to get off. No prosecution. Meanwhile, somebody who peacefully walks in with a rose to an abortion clinic has been incarcerated for 8 months. I'll share a little bit. And why are they there? They're not there for anything other than to try to protect an unborn child from being murdered. They wanted their presence known. They're calling this group the Garland Nine. I think there's eight of them or nine of them. Nine pro-lifers is what it was. And they're calling the Garland Nine. And they were all convicted of violating the FACE Act. And one of those is a 75-year-old Holocaust survivor. Her name is Paulette Harrow, a 75-year-old Holocaust survivor. In jail now, 8 months. Another one is a woman named Heather Adoni. They put her in solitary confinement for 22 days for sharing food with another inmate. I had a friend, I talked to you about him a lot, who's done some prison time. When they put you in solitary, it's like torture. They call it the hole. I mean, and if you've been incarcerated, you've been there, you know what it's like. 22 days she was put in the hole for sharing food with another inmate. She was only allowed to walk outside herself for 2 hours in the middle of the night. She says that the lights of her cell were continually kept on. That is a torture itself. On top of that, she had a stroke this week. The nine defendants, they're going to be sentenced next week. I'll bring you up to speed on it. They face sentences anywhere from 3 to 6 years. Can somebody tell me what the heck is going on in this country? I mean, what is right is now viewed as wrong. What is wrong is championed as being right. You've got these liberal prosecutors who do nothing. You've got paid agitators. This is an attack on democracy. That's what we're seeing in our country right now. And I know there's a lot of outside forces that are fomenting and advancing this as well. And unfortunately, I think they've also infiltrated our Congress. I mean, take a look at these policies. Take a look at the radical agendas that are being put forward. It's something I ask you to pray for. I want you to be aware of. You know, it should give us all pause. This is our country. You walk in peacefully to an abortion clinic and you're going to end up in the hole. You're going to spend months of your life and possibly 3 to 6 years in jail. You destroy public property, right? You attack police. You disobey their commands. You know, 21 are arrested, 2,100, and nothing. I'm not going to prosecute them. Okay, they walk out. They got their way. They got their message. They got their airtime. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Every American should be outraged over what's happening to the Garland Nine. They should be outraged. Because you know what? It could be you next. You never know if it's going to be you or somebody you love. Just, I'm putting it on your plate today. Just want you to think about it. I want to show you the comparison of two crimes, supposedly, right? If you consider walking to an abortion clinic a crime, compared to these paid agitators and how sentences are meted out. That's not justice. That is not justice. Labor Department today, I'll move on to another topic for you, reported jobs were added to the economy last month, 175,000. So, Drew, is that good or bad? Well, they were expecting about 240,000, so not so good. Well below the reported 300,000 in March. Austin Goolsbee, he's the president of the Federal Reserve Bank in Chicago. He did his best to remain hopeful and optimistic with his recent jobs report. Let me share with you what he said to Bloomberg.
Some of the root of our frictions here might be there's a kind of a day trader's timetable and there's an economic timetable. For setting monetary policy, of course, you got to take a longer arc view on inflation, on employment, and we're just trying to figure out after the excellent dual mandate performance of 2023, let's call it, where inflation fell almost as much as it has fallen on record, and did so without a recession, how much can we continue that into 2024? We hit a bump for sure at the start of the year on the inflation front, and now everybody's just got to take a step back and try to figure out, is that a sign that the economy's overheating, or is that a sign of some other thing? The more jobs reports you get like this, where they're solid, but it's clearly moving back into something that looks like pre-COVID and conventional times, the more confident we can be that the economy's not overheating. But we just gotta watch this.
So how did the markets respond? Large gain today. There was a slight tick up, if you will, in the unemployment rate, 3.9%. But the markets had large gains early this morning. I don't know what the markets are at this moment, but it was up hundreds of points. So it's because investors believe they're going to convince the Federal Reserve to lower interest rates later this year, and that's good news, right? I'd love to see the rates come back down. So we'll see. We'll continue to monitor that. Hey, Alabama, I want to send a shout-out. Every time these states do something that is good, like what we reported on yesterday in Florida with Governor DeSantis, Alabama's done something that I think every state in the union should do as well. They have become the latest state to require age verification before users can access porn sites. Now, is this not a no-brainer? I mean, shouldn't this be a bipartisan effort straight across the board, every state, to protect our kids, right? Thank you, Alabama. My hat's off to you. Congratulations on a sane and very moral decision. The law requires porn sites to register with the state. They have to verify the age of users, and they have to display a warning about the harms of their content. I don't know whether that will stop anybody, but at least it's there. What are those warnings? And I'll share it with you. So I was reading it earlier today. It says this. It says, pornography is potentially biologically addictive. I think that is so profound. I mean, people don't think, oh, really? How can it be biologically? No. Porn changes the brain. It rewires you, all that dopamine. Pornography is potentially biologically addictive. It says it's proven to harm brain development. Can you imagine a 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old boy seeing this stuff, or girl? It desensitizes brain reward circuits, and it increases conditioned response, and it weakens brain function. This is a poison. It's a toxin. And I think every state in the union should be doing this. Another one of the warnings, I can share one more. It says this: exposure to this content is associated with low self-esteem and body image, eating disorders, impaired brain development, and other emotional and mental illness. I'm going to have to do a show on this again. I mean, I've been talking about this for years, right? I am just so glad to see this in print. I am so grateful to the state of Alabama. This is good news. We should be celebrating this. Those warnings should be plastered in every school, right? This should be taught in every biology class. Kids should be aware of what happens. I mean, this is an epidemic in our own country today, and this is affecting the next generation. You know, I don't know how old you are when you grow up. Maybe pornography wasn't as prolific, but we are seeing what is happening now. Again, one final time, I'm going to read those two quotes because I think it's so important. Pornography is potentially biologically addictive. It's proven to harm human brain development, desensitize brain reward circuits, increase conditioned responses, and weaken brain function. Exposure to this content is associated. Now, look at all the girls, right, who you say, oh, it's not just a male thing. No, it's not. Low self-esteem, low body image, eating disorders, impaired brain development, and emotional and mental illness, anxiety levels, all of this type of stuff going on, suicidal ideation. I think you can find the tentacles of this stuff underlying some of those behavior. That law, by the way, goes into effect October 1st, and we may see the porn. Well, I don't know how the porn industry is going to respond. I don't know how you fight against that stuff, but what we've seen in some other places, they've shut off access in certain states that require that, because they can really be open to a lot of major lawsuits. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. We will see what happens. One final news story for you here. I want to talk to Tom Schmitz. A lot of you are going to you're going to be hearing a ton of cicadas. Father Rocky earlier today sent me a text. Apparently, you know, I've been talking about these overlapping, very rare emergence of the 13 and 17 year broods. But that noise is about to begin. That's going to happen soon. The New York Times was reporting that up to a trillion, a T-R-I-L-L-I-O-N, a trillion cicadas are going to rise from the warming ground to molt and sing and mate and lay eggs and die. And it's going to happen mostly in parts of the Midwest and the Southeast. One cicada specialist told USA Today this isn't going to, you know, be the really big cicada show. I think it is. I mean, you're going to need to wait, they say, until the tricentennial in 2076. That's when that's really going to happen. Hey, Father, come on in. Good to have you. Tom Schmitz was going to be joining me. Do you want to join me right now, or do you got to run? Founder of the Walk to Mary.
Yeah, I could do that.
You want to do that now? Or do you want to come back, and we'll hit you later? All right, well, Father's going to stop back in. He wants to say hello to everybody, too. But let me change gears very quickly and welcome Tom to the broadcast. We got a lot to talk to him about as well. Big event coming up this weekend. You know, I don't know if you've joined there. There's going to be thousands of people that are going to be going to the Walk to Mary. Father's Rocky's funny, Maggie, because a little bit earlier he walked in the studio and says, oh, I got to have people send me their petitions. He's actually carrying these on his back. I was in a meeting earlier today where he is going to be carrying miraculous medals from the National Shrine of St. Joseph all the way up to the National Shrine of Our Lady of Champion. And what a truly beautiful shrine it is. It was there back in 1859 that the Blessed Mother appeared to a young Belgian immigrant and came as the Queen of Heaven. And there, the founders of the Walk to Mary were inspired to connect these two shrines. And I'm going to welcome one of the founders of the Walk to Mary. He can fill you in on the background of what is just an extraordinary event. And it's great to have with me today Tom Schmidt, organizer of the Walk to Mary. Tom, good to have you back. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thanks for having me.
And I am delighted to have you here.
It's a delight to be here. And Pat says hi to you and Maggie and all the pilgrims that are in the audience today.
Well, I want to put on everybody's radar this wall, because it's not too late to get there. If you're in driving range, you can certainly come up. You know, it might be a little too late to fly in, but if not this year, definitely next year. We started the Shrine of St. Joseph, make our way all the way to the National Shrine of Our Lady of Champion, the only church-approved apparition site in the country. And I know Father Rocky super pumped to talk about it. He just walked in the studio, dropped off an image of St. Faustina here, and says, I want to come on. Fill us in. It was Father Rocky who was really kind of the impetus behind this, right? Give us a little background on this walk, how big it's become, and you know what people can get out of it and how they can join.
Well, it's a 21-mile pilgrimage walk if you do the whole thing from Shrine of St. Joseph out to Our Lady of Champion. And Father's idea at a men's conference, Estovir at Pius in Appleton, about 13 years ago, right after the apparition had been approved. It started out the first year with 350 people, and now this year we're going to have 300 volunteers and 6,000 people. Pat said this morning, as of early, it was 5,392 folks had signed up, and we're estimating another 600 today. So it'll be in that 6,000 area.
Wow.
And it was Father's message that resonated with Pat and then myself. And here we are today with the Holy Spirit and Our Lady and our Lord to give them greater glory. So,
yeah.
Yes.
It's amazing. You know, I know both shrines personally. I've prayed both at the National Shrine of St. Joseph and then, of course, the one in Champion. There's been many healings, not just physical, but emotional, psychological, liberation from pornography, all sorts of stuff at that shrine. And that's where it's going to culminate with two masses. I know there'll be an early mass and a later mass. If people want to come, they want to be part of this, what's the best way to do that? How do they learn a little bit more about what you're doing?
Well, you can still sign up at walktomary.com, and they can find out all the information there as to what length they want to do, the 21 miles, the 14 miles, the 7 miles, or the 1.7 right at the shrine. So there's still time to sign up on walktomary.com and look under pilgrimage, and it'll have a detailed map that shows everything. And it's well managed with the medical people and the buses and the municipalities have just been tremendous to deal with, so safety-wise and organization-wise. So,
well, you guys do a great job. Hey, I have a few minutes, but could you share a personal story from the pilgrimage that maybe moved you or some of the other participants? And where do they come from? I've seen a map of people who've gone to the shrine. I know they've been from all over the country, in some cases all over the world.
Well, right. We've had folks last year from three different countries that and 44 states. Right now, we're missing six states, Father. So, Andrew, Mississippi, Vermont, Alaska, Idaho, West Virginia, and Delaware. Otherwise, all the states are coming. We've got folks coming this year from Hawaii to Green Bay, and they're not coming for a football game. They're coming to glorify our Lord. So it's great. We have had a spinoff of Walk to Mary Across America, where we have these sites in northern Nevada and Montana and outside Raleigh and San Francisco. And this year, Drew, you'd be interested. We've got the Liverpool, England. James Kendall is going to have a Walk to Mary over there. So
that's crazy. Yeah. I didn't realize that. Yeah. All over. Yeah. I love this walk. And I won't belabor the point. You start at the National Shrine of St. Joseph, but you walk along the Fox River, one of, I think, only four or five rivers in the world that flows north. And, of course, you end at the you go through this bucolic countryside, and you make your way all the way up to the National Shrine of Our Lady of Champion. But you stop at other churches along the way. There's great fellowship. There's lots of prayer. And I know there's lots of healing. I've spoken to many people who've made that pilgrimage, and their lives have been changed. You know, Father has that saying, you know, you kind of created a little bit of a rhyme. And Maggie, let me bring you into the conversation as well. I know Father says it during the rosary a lot, you know. Do you know it offhand? I'm not going to try to recite it. No, I'll let you do it, because I know it keeps getting longer every time I hear it.
I know, he keeps coming up with new verses. It's like, if you want a spouse, if you want a house, if you want a baby, don't say maybe, come to the Walk to Mary. And then he added, if you need a deal, it's for real. If you need a liver, Mary delivers.
Oh my gosh.
If you need some hope, don't say nope.
That's why, and Maggie, you know, if you want a spouse, you know, or you want a house, take the Walk to Mary. You found your spouse on that walk. I saw your husband the other day, and he was sharing with me how he was going to do all 21 miles. I think he did seven of them and then decided to walk like another three. And
yeah.
He says, I'm not going to make it. But he says it was God's providence that he stopped, because that's how you guys met.
Yeah, yeah. It was 2 years ago. I can't believe it, that we were in the same group of pilgrims at the Walk to Mary. And then in honor of that, we got married exactly a year to the date. We got married over the same weekend as the Walk to Mary last year. And so now this year, we're here together to walk as far as I can, because I'm pregnant. I've only got 7 weeks left to go before giving birth. So I
you want a baby, don't say
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, right. I know. I think we're aiming for like 5 or 6 miles, or maybe I can make seven. I don't know. But Joe, I think, might keep going on with some of his friends, but his parents and my mom will be with me. So
awesome stuff.
We're all just walking in Thanksgiving.
Well, I'll see you on the trail. That's for sure. That'll be fun.
Drew.
Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
This year, with the Eucharistic Congress going on and the promotion of Relevant Radio, there's a portion on the last 7 miles on Van Lannen Road that is part of the northern route of the Congress.
Oh, wow.
So, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic. So, I'll be walking that last seven for sure. I know a lot of people are as well. Tom, I look forward to seeing you. Some final thoughts for those who are listening.
Keep in mind the pilgrims and what they're discerning, and all the joy that this brings about. I know there's going to be some pain at the end, but it's well worth it. So
it's all for
Our Lady. Yeah.
No, it's a sacrifice. That's what pilgrimage is all about. Hey, Tom, thank you. Tom Schmidt there, one of the organizers of the Walk to Mary. And there, that invitation is still out there to come. Do a quick search. You can find Walk to Mary online, and you can register. If not this year, come out next year, too. It gets bigger every single year. But one of the things that I think is so critical, and Father Rocky wants to talk about this a little later. He stopped by. He says, come on, Drew. I said, all right, Father, you can jump on before the chat, but we'll talk about it. He's taking your petition to the Walk to Mary. And he's going to do all 21 miles. And during that time, lots of rosaries are prayed, lots of sacrifice. If you want to get those prayer intentions in, and Patrick Adlog, do you know the web address for the petitions? I think it's relevantradio.com.
Relevantradio.com/champion.
Thank you, Maggie. /champion. So it's very simple. Relevantradio.com/champion. Get them in. and you will be prayed for. I know Maggie's going to be praying. I'm going to be praying for you. It's going to be an extraordinary event. You know, as I said, the visions began in 1859, where the Virgin came, asked us to pray for the conversion of sinners. And I would pray for your wayward children. I would pray for that baby, like so many women who have become pregnant, or that spouse, like Maggie was praying for. You know, she gave us this mission to Adele to teach the children of this wild country what they should know about salvation. And that's why this has been such a big thing for Relevant Radio. But there were miracles. You know, we had in 1871, 12 years to the day of the Virgin warning Adele of what was to come if there was not repentance. We have the great Peshtigo fire. The fire was the deadliest in American history. And yet, as those flames approached the chapel where the Virgin appeared to Adele, they were divinely protected. And over the years, so many visitors of the shrine have reported healings and answered prayers. It's one of the holiest shrines in our country. I've sensed when you go there to pray, you can sense the divine. At least I do. And there have been testimonies of the physical, the spiritual healings that have taken place, and more people from around the world continue to come. And again, you start at the National Shrine of St. Joseph. You're praying for that house, that job, that financial blessing. You know, that's a great place to start. So I know you might not be able to make it this year. Maybe you can. You know, talk to your loved one. Say, come on, let's take a road trip. You know, head on up today or tomorrow and join me and so many others, if not mark it next year. But we'll talk a little bit more about it coming up. I just want to make sure you get your intention in, because you know me, I love prayer. I believe in the fruit of it. And we will certainly pray for your intentions. All right, it's bottom of the hour. I need to take a short pause. When we come back, we'll change gears. I don't know if you heard what the Holy Land Cardinal was saying about these university protests. I'll share a little bit of that. Plus, the U.S. House overwhelmingly approves what some are calling the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act. Some people have a problem with it. We can talk about that and more. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Getting you connected. This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. Trying to stay up on the headlines? The Drew Mariani Show is here for you. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for being here with me. The Chaplet of Divine Mercy is about 30 minutes away. We'll pray. And if you have a special need, you want some extra prayer, feel free to join me. Love to pray with you and our ever-expanding spiritual family. Let's pray for peace and an end to anti-Semitism. I don't know what's going on. These college protests have been going on around the country, and, of course, they spurred an act of Congress. You know, actually, there's been an action in Congress on a bill that's been floating around in the halls of the Capitol for at least 8 years. On Wednesday, the House overwhelmingly passed the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act. And this bill, according to the New York Times, would enshrine a definition of anti-Semitism into federal law and instruct the Education Department to continue it when investigating allegations of discrimination against Jews on campuses. And that could lead to federal funds being withheld from, you know, colleges or universities that fail to restrict a broad range of statements covered by the definition, which includes denying Jewish people their right to self-determination. And they're claiming that, you know, Israel's existence is a racist endeavor. And the bill has been sent over to the Senate, where there apparently, I guess, there's some backroom negotiations going on from what I've heard. But, you know, even with the lopsided vote, this wasn't strictly a partisan issue. I mean, 70 Democrats voted against it, and so did 21 Republicans. So the Democrats who voted against it were mostly made up of the, you know, so-called squad members, many of whom are Muslim. But those GOP members who voted against it were firebrands. They were people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, I think Lauren Boebert. Who else was there? Anyway, they said it was hate speech. And it is an interesting position. I mean, they went so far as to say that this would criminalize the New Testament for saying that the Jews had Jesus killed. I think that's an overreach, but, you know, how literal do you take it? Of course, the church has made it clear that, look, the Jews were not singularly responsible for his crucifixion. That's been a major point of confusion for a long time. Every single one of us, you, me, we're responsible for putting the Lord on the cross. He died for your sins and he died for mine. And the church is also very clear that anti-Semitism of any kind is wrong. It is wrong. Pope Pius XII is well known for saying in 1938, as the Nazi party was then ascending in Germany, he says, spiritually, we're all Semites, right? Spiritually, we are all Semites. But, you know, spiritual realities, constitutional realities don't always jive. We'll talk in a few minutes to Professor Robert Enright. He's a professor of law at the Columbus School of Law at the Catholic University of America and director and founder of the interdisciplinary program in law and religion. And he's the author of a book called The Religious Liberty in a Pluralistic Society. And he'll be stopping by. We'll just take a look at it as well. But I find this story really telling. And you can sound off, too. You know, one day, we're going to look back. I'm very curious about how sociologists and historians will write about what we're seeing in this country, you know, from post-Second World War throughout the 20th century into our own day. But again, this Anti-Semitism Awareness Act had a very substantial bipartisan vote, 320-91, and the House threw its weight behind the measure. They especially noted that we're seeing this on college campuses right now. There's an escalation of pro-Palestinian protests, and it's a groundbreaking act. As I said, the Department of Education will be involved and a whole lot of other things. So supporters of the bill we'll see what happens, whether or not it becomes a reality or not. I mean, the pivotal act right now advances to the Senate, and they may reshape what happens. But I'm just putting that on your radar. I want to make sure that you are aware of what's happening in your world. I'll tell you, I'm going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk more. I got a little bit more news for you. Father Rocky is going to be stopping by, and I hope you can join me for the chapel at the top of the hour. You can join me, 888-914-9149.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. The Drew Mariani Show.
You're talking about it on radio.
Here for you.
You're providing awareness to your audience.
On Relevant Radio.
Yeah, on Wednesday, the House overwhelmingly passed the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, and I thought we'd talk about it. How far-reaching is it? And there are dissenters. I've invited, as I said, to join me today, Professor Destro, Professor of Law, Columbus School of Law, the Catholic University of America, and the author of Religious Liberty in a Pluralistic Society. Professor, thank you for your patience. I'm grateful to have you today. Good afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
So, you know, when this passed, one of my colleagues put it on my radar, I thought, man, we should probably talk about this. Many conservatives are seeing these shades of 1938 Germany and things that are happening on campuses, like Jewish students being beaten unconscious or not able to get into class. Now we see this bill being passed. Two things. One, will this bill change anything? A lot of those people that were arrested, I was talking about earlier in the show, weren't even college students. I mean, half of them were agitators. How real of a problem is anti-Semitism in the country? Will this bill make a difference? And do you have any concerns at all about what's being presented?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of questions there, Drew. So let me kind of unpack them a little bit. Do I think it's going to make a big difference? No. Do I think it is going to, you know, do the conservatives who were opposed to it have a good point? The answer to that question is yes. Because it doesn't really, it empowers bureaucrats to take the definition of anti-Semitism into account when they're enforcing the racial discrimination and non-discrimination rules for organizations getting federal financial assistance. And as you can see in other contexts, most notably Harvard, which was discriminating on the basis for years, the statute doesn't really get enforced anyway, even when it is about race. So what they've done in the bill is they've basically said anti-Semitism is a form of race or national origin discrimination.
Mm-hmm. And the bill only applies to anti-Semitism on college campuses. They get federal aid. Am I correct in that?
No. It applies to any educational institution receiving federal financial assistance, which means virtually all of them, you know, where students get student loans, public schools, name it.
So, you know, Jewish organizations, I know, have been working on getting something like this passed for years. And the other day, the president, in his statement, lumped anti-Semitism with Islamophobia. And I'm wondering, okay, this is, we're now dealing with anti-Semitism. Will the Islamic lobby maybe work on something similar? And where does it end?
Well, you know, the question is, are you trying to criminalize speech? I mean, so, you know, in the Congress not only adopted the anti-Semitism definition of the Holocaust Remembrance Organization, you know, they adopted the examples, to give you an example. Yeah. And so, you know, when during the promo, you know, they said, well, could this apply to the New Testament? And the short answer is, I'm just going to read you the example. Quote, accusing Jews as a people of being responsible for real or imagined wrongdoing committed by a single Jewish person or group, or even for acts committed by non-Jews, unquote. Yeah. Okay, so, you know, the Vatican had the Holy See had a reason for cautioning Catholics not to engage in anti-Semitism because it's a blood libel. You know, you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to. There were the Romans were the ones who actually did it. There were bad people who thought it was better for the community that Jesus die. You know, in retrospect, you know, we know what happened, you know, and it's not fair to blame Jews, you know, but our federal government, especially the bureaucracy, is pretty selective in their outrage. We haven't seen much by way of investigation of all the Catholic churches getting burned down.
That's so true.
You know, and there's been a lot of anti-Catholic rhetoric, including by the FBI out there. So, you know, the concern about empowering a bureaucracy is different than the concern about anti-Semitism, which is a real problem.
Yeah, no kidding. And I said a little bit earlier, Pius XI, it was well known, in, you know, for saying in 1938 that, you know, spiritually we're all Semites. I hope we get this right. I don't know where it's going to go in the Senate. Do you think there'll be changes, or what do you think is going to happen with the bill?
No, I think it's a good symbolic vote. It shows the people's hearts are in the right places, you know, but I want you to think about the context. I mean, the Jewish community has been worried about this for years, and I think rightly so, you know, and what we're seeing on campus just shows just how morally bankrupt a lot of these university administrations are.
It's so true. It's so bizarre what we're seeing. Hey, Professor, thank you. I'm sorry we had such a short hit today, but I'm grateful for all that you do. If people want to check out your book, is that available still, or how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, it's there's a newer edition that's available from Carolina Academic Press. If you want to check out the stuff I've written, you can find me on the law school website at law.edu. Catholic U is the law.edu. And you should also check out our Religious Freedom Center there.
I'll definitely do that. Religious Freedom. So just go to Bob. You can do a search also for Bob Robert Destro, I should say, Professor Robert Destro, Religious Liberty in a Pluralistic Society. And I'm grateful for all you do. We'll catch up soon, okay?
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Professor. Always good to talk to you.
You take care.
About 13 minutes now before the top of the hour. As I said, I have to change gears. Father Rocky, the chief executive officer of the network, has just stopped by. It's always good to have him in the studio with us. Father, you're getting ready to leave the network right now, and you're going to head north, right?
I'm going to drive north, Drew, because tomorrow is the 11th annual Walk to Mary. It's been in operation for 12 years, but 2020, we couldn't do an organized pilgrimage, but I know about 50 people did it anyway. That was COVID. I did it with two other guys that year on bike. We biked out there, biked back with Bill Rass and John Cavill. So I'm looking forward to it. We expect about 6,000 people from more than 45 states around the country will come to the 11th Annual Walk to Mary. It starts at the National Shrine of St. Joseph at St. Norbert College in De Pere, Wisconsin. And it goes all the way to the National Shrine of Our Lady of Champions. So I think it's the only pilgrimage in the country where it goes from National Shrine to National Shrine.
That's so cool.
Isn't that something?
I was just talking. Go ahead.
Yeah, and then the Shrine of Our Lady of Champion is the only approved apparition of Our Lady in this country. We had a couple stop by here today on their way from Maryland up there, and their daughter's already up there. And her intention is she's married. She wants to have a baby. And I said, you know, we've heard, I'm going to say 12, 15, maybe 20, testimonials of children who are here because their parents or loved one went and did the Walk to Mary. So we like to tease it on the radio at night with Maggie. If you want a house, if you want a spouse, if you want a baby,
don't say maybe.
Come to the Walk to Mary, right?
Go ahead. There's more to that.
Hey,
now.
That's you, Maggie.
It is.
Where are you?
I'm up in Green Bay.
Oh, you're in Green Bay. We're down here in Lincolnshire.
She's
right?
Broadcasting remotely.
If you want a liver, Mary delivers. You need a deal, it's for real. Right? If
it.
You
need some hope,
don't say nope.
And it gets longer.
In fact, I just printed out 8,000 prayer intentions.
I was just sharing a little bit earlier with Tom Schmidt that you're going to be carrying all these intentions along with miraculous medals.
Yep, miraculous medals. Right. I can't carry the whole thing because the whole thing weighs about 30 pounds. Right.
I was going to say.
But I got a lot of them. We just printed out the prayer intentions. 8,000 of them. Those are 8,000 people who want to come who can't come. There's 6,000 people who are coming. So it will grow. And that's a very important part of our work here, our ministry at Relevant Radio, to pray for you and your intentions. And that's what we do in the rosary every night. That's what you do in the chapel every day. People come together to pray, right? Because when more people are praying at the same time, the more powerful the prayers. And this is what part of the communion of the saints is. We're all in this together. And when one person rejoices in the church, we all rejoice. And when one person suffers in the church, we all suffer.
Yeah.
So looking forward to it. I got to stop by Walgreens and pick up my moleskin. All right, put that on your big toe and your heel. I've got my Advil. I got my two pairs of socks. I got my windbreaker. I've got three pairs of Relevant Radio sunglasses. All right.
You're going to do 14 miles.
You do
21 miles, right?
I have to. How can I invite other people to do it and not do it myself?
And then you celebrate Mass. There'll be Mass following that, right?
I can celebrate.
Can celebrate.
All right.
All right. You'll be con. That's great. How fast do you do your walk?
I'm on my feet from 6:30 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, we were talking about pilgrimage.
Yeah, I mean, the only way you do it fast is you get out in front.
Yeah.
Because the first mile or two, it's really congested. That's okay.
Yeah, you know? Of course.
It's a beautiful walk across the Fox River, and you come around, then you see the Mulva Cultural Center there, which is really beautiful. Go walking all the way up the Fox River until you get to, you know, the east part of Green Bay, and then, you know, you walk to the countryside, and then you're on the countryside. And every stop, there's a church. Right at the beginning, there's a church of St. Joseph, 7 miles into it, St. Peter and St. Paul. 14 miles into it, Holy Cross, right? Another 7 miles, and there you are at the shrine.
We were talking earlier.
You see cows along the way.
You do. It's very bucolic.
You know what they do?
No.
They moo.
All right. We were talking about pilgrimage on the way up and the sacrifice that's involved. 21 is a long time, so you're going to be praying for 8,000 prayer intentions that have come in. You start at St. Joseph, you leave at the National Shrine. There'll be a lot of answered prayers from that. I'm convinced of that.
Well, sacrifice. If God wants to, you know, and happy to do that. Not everybody can come there and do it themselves.
You spoke
Someone
about...
asked me, like, how many rosaries I do during it. I said, I'm lucky if I do one, because once you get into it, you're just pushing ahead. Yeah. You're just pushing ahead, right?
Yeah.
You meet all sorts of people,
and
they want their pictures, and they want to tell you the story, and you know, you're walking with some people for about 5 minutes, and maybe they go faster than you go faster. You catch up with others, and there you go.
You gave a homily today at Mass, and you talked about asking Jesus. Anything,
right.
You know,
he
you
said,
ask the Lord.
Anything
you
ask in my name, I will give it to you. And I said, that's quite a statement, folks.
Yeah.
All right, because I know there's one time I asked Jesus for something. He didn't give it to me. It was a little boy who got hit in an accident, and we were in the emergency room praying for him to survive, and the Lord took him. But I wasn't manic. I just realized we prayed so hard. He heard our prayer. He had a better plan that day. Either the boy can go on living in Chicago or go living on in heaven, right?
Yeah.
And the Lord took him home. Sometimes that happens when young people die. You know, they're a really good person, right?
Yeah.
But I think you got to be very specific in your prayers to Jesus about it. Kind of like when you're filling out an order on a website, they ask for everything. Name, address, phone number, email, right? Credit card. And then the security number, And, you know, it's kind of, you got to be very specific in your prayers to Jesus.
What do you say to the people who are taking this pilgrimage, Father, who are praying for that spouse, that house, you know, that liver, that job, whatever it might be?
Ask and you shall receive. And you can be absolutely certain. If you walk 21 miles for prayer attention, God heard your prayer.
Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely. There's no way he didn't.
Yeah.
There's no way he didn't.
Suffering and sacrifice amplify one's prayer. That's the power of fasting.
But it's also, you know, the prayer for the walk to Mary, it's really beautiful because it starts off, just as the three kings came from the east by foot looking for Jesus. Mm. And that was like a two-year pilgrimage, right?
Yeah, yeah.
With camels and all that. Just as Jesus, Mary, and Joseph every year would walk from Nazareth all the way up to Jerusalem. And that would be a one-week walk, right? Just as, you know, Christians in the Middle Ages traveled across Europe to holy places, Santiago de Compostela, Rome, or the Holy Land, just as John Paul II went out to the entire world. So too today, Lord, we set out on foot. So we're carrying on tradition, actually goes back to Abraham, yep. Right? From the Ur of the Chaldeans. And you know, especially in this age where everything's electronic and automated, you're out there at the mercy of God in the elements, you know, because if it's windy, mm-hmm. it's windy. If it's cold, it's cold.
It rained last year.
If it rains, you get wet.
Yeah.
All right? You don't melt. That's only in the Wizard of Oz.
I do.
If you're a witch, you don't melt. You just get wet, right? What's the worst could happen? You get a cold, right?
Yeah. That's great. Anne Rice, did she write about the three magi?
I don't know if she did. She wrote that book. She wrote that book, Christ the Lord out of Egypt.
That's what it was.
Also reprinted as The Young Messiah. They made it into a movie.
You read that, right?
I have. I read it three times. Yeah. And I haven't read a lot of books three times. Right? So she was kind of a bohemian artist who wrote all sorts of books about vampires and all that.
Oh, yeah.
But then she had a couple of years, you would say, of lucidity, where she really dove into the Bible narratives about Jesus, the apocryphal gospels. She studied the local history and customs of that time and crafted this wonderful narrative of 12-year-old Jesus leaving Alexandria, Egypt with his mother, Mary, and Joseph coming back after Herod had died. And on the way, he discovers, oh, that's why we left Bethlehem. All those little kids were killed. Oh, I had a lot to do with it, right? Now, it's theologically somewhat problematic because it raises a question like, when did Jesus know he was God? And Cardinal George, may he rest in peace, used to say, well, if he was God, when did he ever forget?
Yeah, right.
Right? But the way it paints a portrait of the personality of the Blessed Mother and of Joseph and the cousins and the relatives and life back then, because it was dangerous to live back then, right? Because they had been invaded by the Romans, right? Mm-hmm. Life was hard back then. It was dangerous. And you get a real appreciation for the wisdom of St. Joseph. He knew he had one thing to do, and that was to keep Mary and Jesus safe.
You mentioned the apocryphal Gospels. Is there anything we can glean from them? Or would you caution people against reading them?
No, not at all. I wish I had more time to read them. I think Father Simon's read them quite a bit, right? They're apocryphal, but that doesn't mean they're entirely erroneous.
Right.
So we've got a couple of feast days in the church. Mm-hmm. That are not revealed in the Bible as we know
right.
it. So, for instance, the presentation of Our Lady in the Temple, November 21st, that does not come from the Bible. That's in some apocryphal readings, right? And the feast day of St. Joachim and St. Anne, their names never show up in the Bible. So where do we get those, right? Those are from the apocryphal Gospels. There's a lot to learn. It hasn't all been revealed. That's why heaven is eternity, because we'll wait in line and get, you know, a lot of time to talk with Jesus.
Good stuff. Well, Father, I know a lot of people are going to want to see you tomorrow, and I hope they'll stop up and
say they want to see
hello.
You too. You're going.
Yeah, I'm going to be there.
They asked me, do you know Drew Mariani? Mm-hmm. I said, I know Drew Mariani. He's great on here.
Kathy's going to be
even
walking
better in person.
With me.
Do you know Maggie Caruso? I know Maggie Caruso.
She's the same. You'll get to meet Maggie. You'll see Joe. She's going to be on a little bit of a shorter stint.
I heard Joe's pulling her in a red wagon. Is that true, Maggie?
That's not true.
I don't get a big red wagon.
I mean, unless he's been hiding it from me this whole time, I haven't.
You let
seen
the surprise out, Father.
Oh no!
You let the secret out. Now it's ruined. Yeah, it's gonna be great, Maggie. We'll
but
see
you see
you there.
People from everywhere.
Yeah.
All right, from all over the country. You see people from Africa. You see people from Haiti. You see people from Mexico. Yeah. It's beautiful, and everybody's happy.
Yeah.
right?
Yeah, we love it. I can't wait. You're not doing the rosary tomorrow night at the shrine?
I am, but magically.
Okay, good.
It's a secret.
And people can tune in to you tonight, right?
Every night. I'm going to be doing tonight from Relevant Radio Mobile One Studios. Do you know what the Mobile One Studios are?
Yeah, I do, actually.
It's my
car. Right.
Right. So I got this app on my phone where I can find a 5G cell phone tower.
That's so great.
And I find it. It's usually in a cornfield up there, and I park near there. And the cows are looking at me like, what are you doing, man?
That's so cool. Also, you'll be praying the rosary at the National Eucharistic Congress.
Yes. All right, everybody's invited to come down to Indianapolis July 17th to 21st. We're going to be doing the rosary every morning before Mass because it worked out really great at Focus, right? So go to relevantradio.com/indy to find out all about it. And these pilgrimages from the four corners of the country can be amazing. Here in Chicago, if you go to the Archdiocese of Chicago website, they got a lot of events planned for that week.
Yeah.
It's really big. They're doing a big thing here in Chicago, which I'm happy to see. And then the next week, the Blessed Sacrament goes down to Indiana, and Relevant Radio is going to be down there on July 4th.
Wow.
On July 4th, for Family Rosary Across America Live with
great.
The Bishop of Gary, of Mass, of a procession. It'll be awesome.
Father, looking forward to seeing you. Safe travels.
Thank you so
much. And remember me as you make your journey. I'll offer a prayer for you as well, okay?
God bless you.
Chaplet straight ahead, and you can join me for that at 888-914-9149. Father Rocky will be praying the rosary tonight at 7 Central, and every night you can check him out there as well. Stay with us. We're back with more right after this.